We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You decide. 2000.
Let's continue to talk politics with Robert Roberts, political science professor at James Madison University. And we'll crunch the numbers a little bit as we look at the winners and losers from last night. Robert, glad to have you here. What do you make of Corey Stewart's victory over Nick Freitas and E.W. Jackson last night?
That was expected. In fact, his margin was a little smaller than most of the pundits thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So he won, but it was a narrow victory, only about 5,000 votes. And therefore, I'm not sure it really helped him that much, because I think all the pundits thought he would win substantially.
So have you had a chance to look district by district across the state and try to figure out where the core supporters are for Corey Stewart and where he needs to kind of shore up the folks who voted for Freitas?
He didn't do well around Freitas in the Culpeper area, and that central Virginia area, he did not do well. He did well in Northern
Stewart
Virginia.
Stewart
didn't do well.
Yeah, okay.
Stewart did very well in Western Virginia, where we expected him to do very well. He did fairly well in Northern Virginia. Somewhat mixed in Tidewater. But those numbers were not that unexpected. I think what's unexpected is how well Freitas did. And we don't know whether there were any, let's say, Democrats voting in the Republican primary.
Yeah.
And that could have happened. I mean, you could have had some Democrats crossing over or independents crossing over and voting against Stewart in that primary. So that probably might have happened here.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect them to give up the chance to vote in the congressional primaries that were hotly contested for them, though, would you?
There weren't a lot of very hotly contested Democratic primaries. There were some, but not all. And therefore, if you were, for example, in some of the Fairfax County areas where there weren't really any contests up there, you might cross over in terms of the. I know people who went. So you don't know, but Stewart won. He deserves credit for that, and it's going to be a very interesting Senate race.
Now, Corey Stewart's been pretty bold. He has said that he will be savage in his attacks on Tim Kaine, and that was one of the things that was very appealing, I think, for some Republican voters, is that they don't want a milquetoast candidate, and they were very critical of Ed Gillespie in the last election for going along to get along or trying to be very presentable and calm, especially juxtaposed against Donald Trump's attitude in Washington. What do you think? Does a ruthless campaign here in Virginia work against a Tim Kaine, especially when you start looking at the patterns of voting over the last few years in these statewide races?
It depends entirely on turnout. Of all the election years on the cycle, this cycle is going to be the lowest turnout traditionally, because Virginia is the only state in the country that has major elections every single year. And therefore, the likelihood is that unless Kaine and Democrats are able to turn out their voters, it could be a race much closer than many pundits might expect. In other words, the lower the turnout, Republicans are going to be very energized, the base, and the Democrats have to turn out their supporters, primarily in Northern Virginia. There's only one competitive House race in Northern Virginia. That's the 10th, which is out toward the western part of Northern Virginia. And so if you don't have competitive races at the House, people might sit home, and therefore Stewart is hoping that, in fact, his supporters will turn out and that the Democrats, for whatever reason, won't get excited and sit home.
Yeah. We're talking to Robert Roberts, a political science professor at JMU. What do you make of Abigail Spanberger and her victory? Now she faces Dave Bratt here in the 7th Congressional District.
That's a fascinating district. I mean, it's a Republican district, but it's becoming an increasingly urban district. And many of the positions taken by Trump are not exactly Brat's position. Free trade, for example. I think Brat is considered a free trade because of his economic background. And so it's going to be interesting in terms of whether she's going to be able to turn out maybe a coalition of some Republicans, Democrats, who might be unhappy with specific proposals of Trump. Maybe you may not have Republicans who are unhappy overall, but they may be unhappy with some of his positions, for example, free trade, immigration, et cetera. So that's going to be a fast-paced race. Mm-hmm. It should stay, I mean, it's designed to be a Republican seat because of the way the lines are drawn.
Yeah.
But it's a possibility that, depending upon those issues, some independents and Republicans may decide to sit home or they may decide to cross. We don't know. So that's going to be a fascinating fasting race.
Now, I'm loath to get into gender politics and race politics and the like, but I don't think you can ignore the fact that Democrats did put up a number of women and they will be on the ballot. Do we think that this becomes a really polarizing issue or a unifying issue for Democrats in the November cycle?
For Democrats, this becomes what they view a crossover issue.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they believe that they can attract because they can attract independent women and some Republican women to cross over. So they believe that that's the case. Now, does it hurt Democrats in terms of the male vote? No, because the white male vote tends to go heavily for Republicans anyhow. So I think the Democrats believe, particularly in these districts that they think they might have a chance in, it can only help them and not hurt them.
And real fast before you go, you know, I want to be fair. Tim Kaine has been good and has come on this program, and I'm appreciative of that. And I tell everybody I'm Republican, so I, you know, if you ever feel like I'm being unfair, I want you to write me or call me. But I have to ask, do you think that Tim Kaine has any liabilities here in Virginia? Is there a series of bad votes? Is there a gaffe that he's made, or is he still retain the popularity that he had when he won back in, 2012 and when he won for governor?
No, the Roanoke poll that came out the day before yesterday had him with 11-point lead.
Yeah.
And so his issue is not his popularity. His issue is turnout. In other words, he has to get a higher turnout in order to get those voters who are less inclined to vote overall.
Right.
Tend to be urban areas. So it's not as if he's unpopular. It's that the Democratic Party has had, traditionally, more difficulty turning out their vote than the Republicans have.
Yeah, you've got to think they're going to be animated with the congressional elections.
I think Mark Warner thought that was the case when he ran for re-election,
mm-hmm.
and that was a very close race.
Yeah.
And I think it's say they're going to be animated, but it's difficult to get people out sometimes.
Yeah.
When you don't have national races of some type. So I would think they would come out, but we don't know. And I think Mark Warner thought they would come out and barely won that his re-election a few years ago. But so we don't know.
That's always the challenge, getting people to the polls on both sides of the political spectrum. Robert Roberts, political science professor at James Madison University. Always appreciate you joining us, and what an interesting morning to try to dissect the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.